Hey everyone, and I'm back. I want to talk to you all about Prurigo nodularis. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing it right. These are lesions, like bumps and blisters that appears on your body. I wanted to discuss that because I'm having those lesions have begun to pop back up on my body. And they look like blisters and everything, but that's what I want to talk to you guys about today. And I do apologize for my compressor air oxygen in the background hissing, because I am on oxygen 24/7 now. And I hope I'm trying to get through this without any distractions. But these lesions, they can, it's a skin disease. You know, it's an autoimmune disease also. And that goes along with if you got any kind of autoimmune, but with mine is coming from all the other autoimmune that I have, but lupus is one that it mostly appears with. You know, it shows up mostly with that. I have talked to most people about that have had it, you know, get it, the lesion. They all, most of them say that they have lupus or some type of autoimmune disease, and they normally show up on your arm or your leg or your back or your stomach or your chest. Mine's normally show up mostly on my leg. And this last time, they have appeared on my buttocks, my lower back, and right in the middle of my back. Me personally, they itch, but I don't scratch, because they do have like pus, some kind of pus or inflammation inside of them, because they are soft. Some people say theirs are hard, but mine's like blisters. And I'm afraid if I scratch it too hard, they will bust and that liquid get on my skin and probably make more. But what I do when I'm itching like that, I normally, since I got them on my lower back and middle of my back and my buttocks, I take a nice salt bath, Epsom salt bath, and just sit there and soak. And I sit in the water as hot as I can stand it to help, you know, with the itching and stuff like that. And then once I get out, I dry myself out really well, and then I apply shea butter, 100% pure shea butter. You can get it in little tubs now, but I buy the 50 gallon tub of shea butter, 50 pounds of shea butter, put it like that. And I have that. I bought one tub. I buy a gallon bucket. I was the white, and this last one I got was the yellow. So I used that on my body, and I have been using the shea butter on my surgical scar also to help take away the darkness, and it's clearing up really well. and eventually it would not even look like it's, that a scar was there. But that would take time, and over years it would go away. But for these lesions, blisters, as I call them, that I get, I use that on my back to help me from scratching. Now, like in the middle of my back, in the lower part of my back, I have my daughter to assist me by rubbing that on there. With the shea butter, it's thick, so I nuke it in the microwave just enough to soften it up so it can be easy to spread on. And I don't let her spread it too hard because I don't want it to pop any of those lesions. But I do that until they are completely gone. And my lesion, they normally last me, they normally be, when I get them on my legs, I had them for about a month, sometimes 2 months. And I just recently got these on my lower back and stuff. So they've been there now for about 2 weeks. But there's no medicine that you can get that your doctor can prescribe for you to help with that. I know that when I first got them, my doctor prescribed a cream for me, and it didn't really work for me, and I decided to start using the shea butter, and that worked a lot better for me. So I've been doing that now for about 7 years, because I've been getting them now for about 7 years. These lesions, I've been, you know, they come and they goes, and they're, you know, there's different types of triggers. Also, there's different types of food that you shouldn't eat, you know, that you should avoid eating, you know. You know, for one, need a balanced diet. By me doing the Mediterranean diet, it's pretty much balanced, but I know lately that I Friday, I had tempura, that's fried food. You should avoid fried food. And a couple of weeks before then, I was craving fried chicken wings. And I made me some fried chicken wings. And I knew I shouldn't have, but you have these cravings, you want to take care of them. And I love fried onion rings. And I had some of those. So I know those are my triggers. Because when I went back and looked at my journal, I noticed when I first started getting them, the certain foods that I was eating that was doing it. So I love fried clams, and, you know, and I eat it every now and then. I don't eat it all the time. I eat it in moderation. So, but either way, it affects my body, and it starts the lesion. The lesions comes out. So I just have to deal with it. But like I said, I've been doing the shea butter for 7 years, so I know how to deal with it for me, because I know medication that the doctor them give me, it doesn't work for me. And I try to avoid taking a lot of different antibiotics and stuff that they give me. And if I can find a natural way of taking care of it and it helps and I don't have a problem with it, I will stick with that routine. And, you know, it's just best to figure out what's going to work for you. If the medicine that the doctor can give you and it works for you, great. I'm happy for you. And I'll, you know, continue to do that. But like I said, it didn't work for me. They tried different ones. It did not work. So I start using shea butter for myself. You know, and you definitely needs to make sure your vitamin D level is up, because it can pull your vitamin D down. And that's why when I get chemo, they check all that, you know, to make sure. And it's, you know, like I said, you know, the biggest thing is trying not to scratch. I know it's hard to say, to do, but, you know, try not to scratch. And let, you know, it's to, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to sleep because it's itching. And when it get the itching like that, I get up and put more shea butter on, you know. I'm mostly up at night anyway. Some nights, you know, I get maybe 3 to 5 hours of sleep. But then during the day, I'm sleepy. I'm yarning. I do apologize. But, you know, you have to make sure that you have a balanced diet. Do not scratch if you can. And like I said, with me, I do the Mediterranean lifestyle of eating, you know, and it helps with the inflammation, you know, brings down my inflammation and everything. And I have started incorporating more nuts into my lifestyle of eating. And there are certain nuts that's good, you know, that will help you. With me, I eat pistachios, I eat cashews, I eat walnuts, Brazil nuts. Those are good for inflammation, to keep the inflammation down. And they have been working for me, you know. I started off doing, eating them a lot. Maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, I was eating them a lot. Excuse me. But then I started, you know, a lot of things started happening in my family, and I completely just bagged off the nuts and everything. And then when I started the Mediterranean lifestyle of eating, I started back eating them. So, you know, and I eat them in moderation. I ordered them off of Amazon in bulk, because it's cheaper to do that, to buy them in bulk for me, than buy them in single pack or, you know, packages from the store. Because if I get them in bulk, I will have them when I need them. And as long as they are contained and sealed, and they have a good life shelf span on them. You know, with the itching part, you know, if you don't have the shea butter or something, and in the doctor medication, you know, try itching cream, something that's going to help you to keep you from scratching. Being stressed also is a trigger. Like I was saying in my earlier talk, that you know I have been depressed a little, and that can do it because that stress, you know, and that will trigger it. Overheating can do it also. You know, like I said, you know, and with me, with the scleroderma, I do try to avoid the sun as much as possible. And when you have these blisters and stuff, that's another good thing, to avoid the sun as much as possible, because that can make worse. And if you do have to go out, make sure you put on sunscreen, you cover up. And with me, I put on sunscreen every day, regardless if it's sunny, raining, I still put on sunscreen, because I have to protect my skin. My face is mostly going to be out when I have a floppy hat on, but your skin is still, my face is still vulnerable to the sun rays. So I use sunscreen all the time. And I found me this lotion that have the sunscreen in it, the same amount that SPF 50 in it. So that works for me. So when I put the lotion on my face, I'm still putting on sunscreen, and that means I got it on my hands and I lotion my whole body down. So it's good to be able to find different things that will help you than, you know, suffering. And like I said before, I actually put the, you know, when it gets to that point where it itches so bad, I run me a nice steamy hot bath and put me some Epsom salt in the water, and I sit there and soak my body until the water turned cold, and then I get out and I clean and dry myself out really good. Then I put the shea butter on. I think you shouldn't have no moisture on your body, you know, when you have blisters or lesions like that, because eventually it will, you know, it could probably, you know, dry and crack and bust. Like I said, I don't know if that information get on your lid, will it spread or not, because I have never gave it a chance to do that with me. And I try to avoid doing, you know, let stuff like that happen to me. And they do look like rashes, like little bug bites. And it depends on your skin type. I am dark. I have a dark complexion skin type. So mine normally look purple or black, sometimes blue. And if you have a lighter skin tones, it probably look red or pink. And they come in big like little clusters, or they come in big blisters. Mine's come in blisters. They're not clustered together, they just blisters. So, you know, always make sure you know, checking yourself, making sure. If you see a bump or something on you, don't try to, if it got like a pus of whiteness or yellow looking stuff in it. Me personally, I wouldn't bust it. I would put something on it, talk to the doctor first, see if they can give you something to try dry it up. Me, I use the shea butter. It dries them up really well and my skin is fine. But it's always best to talk to your doctor first. You know, to make sure that, you can, use something, medication. And, like I said, medication is going to stop the itching. You know, if they give you something with antibiotic in it, some type of, antibiotic creams and stuff, that will stop the itching. But like I said, me, I try to use natural stuff to help myself. I don't know that it could be, a lot of people think it's eczema, but sometimes it could be eczema. That's why you need to talk to your doctor first before you go exploratory on your body. When I first started breaking out with mine, I did talk to my doctor. Like I said, they tried different types of cream. They gave me antibiotics, and my body rejected all of it. And my body mostly rejects a lot of medication that they give me that's supposed to help with my illness. But I end up have to go and try natural remedies. And more normally the natural remedies helps me. And I am a strong believer in using natural remedies before, taking all these different type of medications with all these different side effects and stuff. But a lot of times I end up still have to take the medication and deal with the side effects. So when I start having the different side effects, I find a home remedy or natural remedy to help with that side effect, so I'll be able to take the medication. But when my body rejects the medicine, I don't even worry about it, because there's nothing that is going to help if the medication is not working. So I keep moving and looking and researching until I find something that's going to help me. And I do a lot of research to make sure. I take a lot of vitamins, supplements. I got the gummies, the vitamin D, the omega-3s, the vitamin B, vitamin C's. So, and I get the gummies because they are good. And it's hard for me to pronounce it, but it's a berry gummy that I love, and I chew two of those a day. I chew my gummies, my vitamin gummies, once a day. So, I get my vitamins in. And along with my Mediterranean way of eating, I'm working on it. I'm still on my release weight journey, and I'm doing really well on that. Kafar, when I started this Mediterranean journey in 2019, I was at 215, and here is 2023 in December, when I went to the doctor the 1st of December, I was at 150. So I have came a very long way from 210 to now I'm at 150. And I still have another 20 pounds that I want to release. And it might be next year when I do release that extra 20 pounds. And then I'd be at the weight that I'm supposed to be at for my height now. Because when I had my ankle surgery, before I had my ankle surgery, I was 5'9". And after I had my ankle surgery, I became 5'5". So I lost 4 inches. And when I lost the 4 inches, I was heavy for my height. So, and I didn't look big. No more than from taking the prednisone for all those years, and it took me this long to finally release majority of that weight from taking the prednisone, because prednisone do make you gain weight. It makes you look like a little fat chipmunk. But now I feel better, and like I said, I'm very happy that I came across this Mediterranean lifestyle of eating, because I tried a lot of different ways to release weight, and then none of them worked for me. I would release the weight, and I was in a good place, it came right back. But now, since I've been doing this, it haven't came back. So I said, you know, look into it, you know, because I didn't stop eating what I love. I just changed the way I prepared it. And I use olive oil, grapeseed oil, canola oil, vegetable oil. I limit the butter. You know, stuff that, you know that was bad for me, but I loved it. I eliminated it. It took a minute to get used to not eating that way. I had to learn how to eat smaller portions. You know, don't just constantly eat. You know, I felt that I was full, and then, but I still wanted to eat it. That was a downfall. So when you're releasing weight, don't constantly just eat coffee. It's there in front of you. If you're full, you're full, and walk away. But you definitely need to be able to balance your diet to be able to deal with these lesions. Because like I said, I don't get these lesions all the time. I only get them when I eat food that I'm supposed to eat. Cause that's my trigger, is fried foods. But I know this because I keep a food journal. And that's another thing that I be saying. Always write down. Think about what you have ate. Think about what you have drank. Think about what you have been doing to know, okay, this didn't happen. If you keep a journal, you would know these things. I have so many journals so I can go back and look at them, you know. And I learned that it was best to have a journal when I was doing my research. So, like, as you know, I've been journaling ever since 2010. And that's how I know about what I should eat, what I should not eat, what the sun does to my skin, you know, what the cold does to my skin, what triggers my RA, and, you know, everything. If you start a journal, you can write these things down, and they will help you, and you'll have something to go back and look at. You'll have something to go when you go to the doctors and show them, okay, this is what's been going on. Because they don't know your body like you do. And if you got it wrote down, they cannot. Make sure you put the date, the year, and me, I put the time. When I first notated this, when I first started noticing certain things, I got all that down. So they can't say, oh, this is all in my head. You can see it. I take pictures. I do videos. And I back them up in the cloud. I have a special file for those. So it's all these little things over the years I learned to do to help me, to be able to help the doctors, to be able to help me. Because, like I said, they don't know your body. You know your body. You know what you're going through. You know how you feel every day when you wake up in the morning. You know this. You know, you could tell if your medication is working and if it's not working. I write down the side effects that I'm having, and when, especially when I start a new medication. You know, that's why I say I do this to give you tips on how I deal on an everyday basis of with living with my illness. I'm not trying to give no advice. Like I said, if you need to talk to someone, talk to your doctors. If you need mental health, talk to a therapist. Because I know I do. When I'm having problems, I go talk to my doctor. Like I was saying in my other video talk, I had been a little depressed, and I talked to my doctor, and he put me on some antidepressants for 2 months. So it's working for me, and I can feel that I'm not as down as I was when they first told me, okay, you only function with one lung. And that's, you know, that was hard at first. And I didn't know how to talk to my sister about it. I haven't talked to my brother about it yet. I didn't know how to, you know. I told my kids, but talking to them about it, I did not do. I didn't know how to, but I got help. And I talked to someone, a professional, about it. And now I'm able to move forward, and I'm ready for whatever else that's going to come, because now I can deal with that. I don't deal with it, but it's still there, but I can move forward. And that's all I'm trying to get my message out to people, to show you, no matter what you're going through, how low you don't came, you can always pull yourself back up. Because I know, I'm a living witness. I hit rock bottom. I know what rock bottom is, to the point where I was sleeping in my car, but I made sure my kids had somewhere safe to live until I was able to do for them again, and we could be a family again. That's why I say, you know, you have to know what to do for yourself You know, I didn't have nobody telling me all these things. Did nobody tell me? I had to learn this stuff. I got sick and tired of doctors telling me it's all in your head. That's what made me start journaling. Okay, this is not in my head. They don't want to believe me, but okay, let me start taking pictures. Let me start writing stuff down. So when I go and show them, okay, so this is in my head. This is what happened. So by the time your appointment comes to go see these doctors, the evidence is gone. So they're looking at you like, oh yeah, she crazy. But you're not. That's why I said, if you start journaling, writing stuff down, taking pictures, videoing, you have this information and take it to these doctor's appointment. Because if it's already gone when it happened, if you can't get in to see your doctor soon and you having this problem, you still, if you can get in there to see him, you still take videos, pictures, and documentation in your journal. So you'll know the next time something like this happened, what triggered it. So you'll know what to avoid to keep from going through the same cycle. Like I said, we all have stuff that we love to, we crave to eat. But I know what triggered my lesion this last time because I ate a lot of fried food. And the best thing to do, try to avoid red meat if you can. I don't eat a whole lot of red meat. And if I do eat red meat, it's maybe once a month. And it's going to be a small portion. A red meat for me. The rest of my family, they can go on journey all they want, but for me, it's once a month in a small portion. So, you know, and I notice with me, I eat a lot of salads. That helps me also with my inflammation. I don't use heavy dressings to put on my salad. Sometimes I just use lemon juice, salt and pepper, fresh lemon, squeeze some on there, or fresh lime, squeeze some on there, and a little salt and pepper. And mostly it's sea salt that I use, the flakes. So, you know, like I said, I learned all this stuff the hard way because I didn't have no one to tell me try this, try that. But first, before you do all that, talk to your doctor, talk to a nutritionist, you know. But like I said, I did a lot of research for myself to find stuff that's going to help me. And like I said, the things that helped me, maybe you can give them a try after you talk to your doctors and stuff and see where they help you. And ask them, okay, well, maybe should I give this a try? But like I said, me personally, I write everything down, what works for me and what not works for me. And with these lesions, I know what's going to work for me is the shea butter. That works for me, but it's best if you get them, and if you don't know what these little bumps and stuff are, please don't scratch. And like I said, if you see any kind of like pus or anything, don't scratch it. Go to your doctor. Set up an appointment to see your doctor, a dermatologist or someone, to get and see if there's something they can give you, you know, to help you. Know to get rid of it. And if the medication works for you, that's good. But like I said, it didn't work for me. So I'm going to leave you guys with that. And I wish you all a happy Merry Christmas and a happy New Year. And again, thank you all for listening and sharing my podcast. And I dearly appreciate it. I am so grateful and thankful for all of you all. Namaste. Happy New Year, everyone. And welcome back. Today, I'll be talking to you guys about platelets. Because I have to deal with platelets every time I go and get my chemo. They have to check my platelets and make sure they're at where they're supposed to be at. So if your platelets are off, you can't get your chemo. If it's too high, you can't get your chemo. So it has to be just right to be able to get your chemo, because that's very important. Platelets is like a disorder, you know, for people that, you know, have serious complex of any, you know, type of disease. It causes abnormal bleeding when you get them. When your platelets and stuff is off, bruising, you know, comes from, you know, when your platelet count is very low. I get those when my platelets is low. I notice the bruising. Like you don't bump yourself, you know, bumped up against something and got a, like a purple bruise or something. That's how I could tell when my platelets is off. It's a different bruise from when I get a bruise from the lupus reaction or something like that. You know, that's where, you know, I always say to document everything that happens, you know, to your body. You know, video it, take pictures, you know, measure it, see does it get bigger, you know, watch it, you know, over time. And, you know, as you begin to do these things, you will begin to notice what's what. So when you talk to your doctors and stuff, and you show them this, and, you know, they can, most doctors look at it and tell you, because if by the time you go to see them, if it's gone, you still have documentation. So they can see what you're talking about. It's very important to document anything that's happening with your body, like side effects from new medication, or if you eat something and you're on a new medication and something happened. Excuse me. And something, you know, something happened, then you document this, you know, what do you eat, you know, because, lately, I have been breaking back out with the rash and everything, and I know where it's coming from. It's not from nothing I have ate. It's that I've been under a little stress, because I was stressed out trying to figure out, you know, I hadn't got a chance to see my neurologist to find out what happened with the CT scan. But now that I went to go see him on Friday, so is we at the same spot. We're just going to stay on the medication that he got me on, the pills that I take at 5 o'clock. We're going to do the pills for a whole year and see, you know, how, you know, is it something that we have to continue to do? Excuse me. And I am lack of sleep. I'm so sorry. I haven't been able to sleep lately because I was worried about that. And that's why I started back breaking out with the rash and stuff, because of the stress. And I'm going to try to get some sleep. But platelets, it is like a autoimmune disease. You know, it messes with your system. It attacks the blood platelets, you know, and the antibodies. And you have to have those antibodies in your body to help, you know, fight off any unwanted diseases and stuff. But my antibodies in my body, no matter what pills or whatever they give me, it attacks my body. And it's just to the point where I can't take a lot of medication that normally help people, but it doesn't help me. And meeting the neurologist on Friday, he was saying that with my lupus SLE, the new medication that they do have out for people for the lupus and the rheumatoid arthritis and the scleroderma and all those autoimmunes that I have, it's not going to work for me because mine is so far gone to the point where the medicine wouldn't help me. So yeah, that's why I have so many surgeries for joint pain to stop the pain. It's that I don't be wanting to have this surgery, but I want the pain to go away, because when joint pain gets so severe, it hurts 24/7, and it's a different type of hurting pain. It's, to me, with me, it's a numb and dull tingling pain at times. Sometimes it's throbbing. Sometimes I can't, if I move a certain way, it's like my body get locked in that position and I have to wait sometimes anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes before I can even be able to relax and, you know, be able to move again. So it's just that the antibody that I get, the chemo that I get, it helps slowing down the rheumatoid arthritis and stuff, but it's not to the point where it's going to cure it. There's no cure for what I have. So I have came to terms with that years ago. But it just, sometimes it's overwhelming to know, you know, that you got all this going on with your body and there's nothing, nobody can do. You know, the medicine that they're coming out with now that's supposed to help, you know, but once, hopefully someone would come up with a medication that would help a person like me that is so severe to maybe not the cure, but just actually help it slow it down. Like now, with the pulmonary fibrosis, my pulmonary fibrosis is to the point where that I'm constantly on oxygen at night and mostly sometime during the day. It depends on what I'm doing. So it's very nerve-wracking, you know, to have to go through all that. And then, like I said, I have to make sure I document any and everything that happens, you know. And, you know, there are signs, you know, that you can look for, easy bruising, bleeding, skin, you know. My skin is excess of bleeding, but it doesn't bleed heavily. Some people get heavily bleeding. Some people get bleeding in the brain. You know, especially when their platelets are too high or too low, that can happen. You know, but you know, what best thing to do is talk to your doctors about treatments and you know, different options that they can, you know, help you with. Schedule a monthly, you know, and follow up on your care. Reduce the risk of bleeding is by, you know, making sure that you taking care of yourself. If you're feeling tired and weak, because a lot of times when I notice I get those bruises, I am tired and I'm a little weak and I don't have energy. So I know my body is beginning to shut down. So I know when I start looking, searching my body, I start seeing the bruises and stuff, and then I know, okay, I call my oncologist, and I tell him, okay, I'm getting these bruises, and I think my platelets are low, and he was like, okay, come in right now, we can run some blood tests and see where your platelets are at. And when my platelets are low, they give me medication, give me platelets to build it back up, because they can give you platelets to help with that. But the best thing is to have a healthy diet along with, you know, everything, you know, try to do your physical exercise if you can, in a, you know, safe exercises, and pay attention to your psychological well-being, because sometimes, like I said, it can be overwhelming. You know, you can get, you know, frustrated and get depressed and all that, but you need to be on top of those things. And like I said, you know, I knew why I started back out breaking out, because I was stressed about the MRI. But like I said, there's nothing they can do, because the way is where it's set up under the base of my skull, and that's where the spinal cord and everything is at. On one side of the spinal cord is clear, and on the other side is where the front of my neck is pinching up against the nerve. And like you said, that's in a dangerous spot, and there's no doctor gonna even think about touching it. So he put me on a medication for to help release some of the pressure, and hopefully that it will gradually open back up. If it doesn't open back up, like I said, I most likely be on this medication for the rest of my life, you know, because it is helping. I notice, because I don't have those sharp shooting pain as much as I was having them, and I don't have the numbness in my feet to the front when I'm walking, and also I don't feel my feet and I fall flat on my face or I trip, you know. So I have noticed that part is not as bad as it used to be, because it had got so bad to the point where I was having the numbness in my feeling my feet maybe 2 or 3 times a day, and that was nerve-wracking, because like I said, when I fell down my staircase, my feet went numb, and I thought I made the step, didn't even hit the step, bypassed the step and went flying down the stairs. So that was back in October, and I had just started taking the medication in August, no, the first part of September. So it hadn't really kicked in yet. Coffee says it's going to maybe take about a month or two before I even start noticing the medication. So like now, I, you know, I have noticed, but I still get the tingling, the purple fingers, the purple toes, where, you know, but my toes and stuff go numb, but my whole feet have not been like that since October. Totally numb, where I don't feel myself walking. So that's been a good part on me. You know, I look at that as A+, because a lot of medication does not work that they give me. And like he said, you know, we're going to keep taking the medicine for a year to see, is it actually, you know, is it helping, you know, anymore? Because if it is, then I'll be taking it. But you, like I said, you have to document stuff for yourself. You know, take care of yourself, you know. And foremost, don't let no doctor tell you, oh, this cannot happen. That's why I always tell everybody, document, film, write it, black and white. If they see it, they can't deny, oh, okay, but it's something new to them. Because most of these doctors are all about textbooks, what they learned in the textbooks when they was in medical school. But our bodies are not like the medical school books, because we are human beings. So people bodies do different things. Everybody body do different things, you know, because he was asking me, so do you get the butterfly rash in the face? No, I get it on my back and in my chest, and I never get it in the face. And I had my phone and I pulled it up and I showed him. He's like, oh, okay. So, you know, everybody body is different, because like you said, he never see the butterfly rash on somebody's face or somebody's back before. It's always, you know, on their chest or their back. It's always in the face. So now, you know, he can say, oh, well, there's more places where you can get this rash. You know, there's more places where you can get these bruises, you know, the, you know, these flare-ups, other than, you know, just on your forearm or in your face, because mostly everybody that have lupus gets some type of rash, but it's always on their arm, legs, or in their face. But by me having lupus SLE, mine come wherever it wants to come. It has a mind of its own, because the SLE part of lupus is the worst part of lupus. That means it attacks everything, and it attacks my organs first. Where a lot of people, they get lupus and it takes years before it start attacking their organs. For me, it attacked my organs right off the bat. So, and it progressed really fast. And since I've been on the chemo, it helps slow down the rheumatoid arthritis, where, you know, I'm not having surgery every 2 years. It's, you know, the last surgery I had was, before I had this last surgery, was in 2019. So, you know, it's been about 4 or 5 years. And that's good for me, because normally I have a major surgery, joint surgery, every 2 years. Or, you know, every 6 months I'm having a surgery. But, you know, I'm blessed and thankful and grateful that I'm getting to that point where I don't have to go under the knife as much as I used to. But I have to see my internal medicine doctor next month. And it's probably going to be before then, because I'm having so much problem with my left hip. And when I walk, it hurts. When I sit, it hurts. When I lay, it hurts. It's getting it to that point now that it's bothering me even more than it used to. And I'm thinking, from me having that fall in October, but when I went down the stairs, I braced myself to the right, and I didn't stop myself with my right hand, because I had just had surgery on my hand. And it was like 2 weeks after I had the surgery when I fell down the stairs. But I didn't think nothing of my hip on my left side or anything like that. And for the last 2 months, it's been giving me problems, and it's getting worse. So I'm trying to hold out until I get to go see him next month. But if it keeps hurting the way it is, I'll be calling and making an appointment to go in to see him early, so he can send me in and have some x-rays done. And plus, I'm up for a bone density test anyway this year, so we can get that done and out the way and see, because I go every year or every 2 years to have a bone density. And the last one I had was 3 years ago. So yeah, I'm due for another one. And the one before that, it was done like a year and a half before the one I had done, the last one done. And my bones are completely just, I'm steady shrinking. If you just put it like that, I'm shrinking. I used to be 5'9". I'm now at 5'5". Yeah, they say I'm still at 5'5". So, but I don't know how far I am now, because like I said, you know, and I don't know how much damage I did to my hip because now my lower back hurts. You know, I can't do a lot of standing or a lot of walking. So, but I do the best I can and I keep moving. I don't dwell on what should have been. I'm just grateful that I'm here and blessed that I'm able to continue to be able to walk the little distance that I do walk, or some people can't walk. You know, I know what it is to be bedridden because I was there back in 2009. In 2008 and 2009, I was bedridden. So I know what that is, where you have to have somebody to bathe you, clean you, do everything for you. I'm not looking to go back that direction right now, because I'm looking forward to moving forward in my life, to enjoy my life, you know. And I just had a birthday a week ago, Friday, and I, you know, it's that I want to live, I want to enjoy my life, you know. I'm very grateful and blessed that I was able to see another birthday, and thankful that I'm still here. And I don't know what my Heavenly Father have in store for me, but I know that if everything that's going on with me, these illness stuff, I know that He can cure me. But He's a lesson that He want me to learn, and a lesson He want me to teach others, that no matter what you're going through, no matter how many trials and tribulations He put you through, hold your head up and walk straight with a smile on your face. Don't never feel like, oh, woe me, because that oh, woe me ain't gonna get you no more than more illness, depression, that you don't want. You want to live. Sometimes it's hard for me to smile, but then after I read a couple of scriptures in the Bible and stuff, then I'm good to go. After I sit and talk to my Heavenly Father, I'm good to go. But you gotta have that mindset that you want to live, that you want to fight for what you're going through. Because if you don't, it will take you away quicker than you want it to, because your body will start attacking you faster, and you be trying to figure out why, because you in disbelief that, okay, I don't understand this. No, we all don't understand. I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I look at it that it's a reason that God got me going through this. And I consider myself to be a very strong person to be able to deal with this. Because sometimes, like I said, I get discouraged and frustrated. But I have to think, okay, this is something that's have to be done. And I hope it helps someone to understand where I'm coming from. Because dealing with any type of illness is hard on itself. Just one. But when I got 5-6 more, you know, illness, to the point that I don't know what the next thing, what the next blood work gonna say I have. I just pray and keep my fingers crossed that they gonna come back and tell me, oh, you got something else. Because when I found out I had colon cancer, that was a setback for me for a minute. I had to think about it and absorb it and move on. Then they came and told me, oh, you got osteoporosis. Okay, I had to absorb that. That was two more illness added on to the five that I already had from the get-go. So now I have seven. I have to be tested every year to make sure the colon cancer haven't came back. I had surgery for that also. And they check and monitor my osteoporosis. That's in my neck. So, like I said, if you just lucky to have one disease that's holding you down, just think about other people out there that got more than what you're going through. Because you only dealing with one spectrum of this is what's happening. Where I have to wonder, when is my kidney going to fail? When am I going to go on dialysis? I don't worry about that no more, but at first I was. When am I going to have liver problems? I don't worry about that. I just leave all that in God's hand. Because He the only one knows what He wants you to go through and how much He wants you to go through. Me, personally, I'm going through a lot. But I'm grateful and I'm very thankful and humble that I am. Yes, I was a wild child when I was growing up, as my older brother called me, wild child. But people change. When I had my first child, my son, I changed. I'm looking at this tiny baby. Well, he wasn't tiny because he weighed 10, 13. In his face, and like, this child is depending on me to take care of him. And then when I had my daughter, I felt the same way. This child is depending on me to take care of her. And it was a struggle. I had to do it without their father's help. And then I remarried, thought I had married someone that was going to help me. It didn't work out. So yeah, I end up being a single mom, a divorcee twice, and raised my kids. And I put them first. No matter what, I didn't put them, I put them before their father because they needed someone to be there for them, to guide them in the right direction, to help them. My second husband, I put him before them, for him. Because I wanted my kids to understand, no matter who is in my life, it's not going to stop me from being your mom. I'm going to be there for you. I always had my kids, made them feel that no matter what's going on with them, they can come and talk to me. And I still tell them that, and they've grown. They're in their 30s, and I still tell them, if there's something you need to talk about, you can talk to your mama. So, I'm just saying, don't let your illness stop you from living. Try to live the best life that you can with your circumstances. God, I don't know what your circumstances is, but hold your head up, put a smile on your face, straighten your back, and walk tall and proud. God, I do. And like I said, when I get in my depressed mood, I sit and I pray and I talk to my Heavenly Father. And to the point that, okay, this last time I got really depressed and I talked to my doctor and he put me on antidepressant for 2 months. And since I have stopped taking them, I'm fine. I don't have those, thoughts of why, and crying. It was mostly crying all the time. It was like a crying depression for me, because I'm hurting, and sometimes it feel like don't nobody understand what I'm going through, what I'm saying, and then you have people always say, oh, don't look like nothing wrong with you, she's just faking it, that hurts. because you don't know what people are going through. Their body might look good on the outside, but you don't know what's going on the inside of them. So you can't judge a book by its cover, because you don't know what's inside that cover until you open it up and see for yourself. That's how I feel. So a lot of times when you get a lot of negative people talking, and you know, and you hear the whispers and the stares and stuff, that's a lot to try to deal with when you're trying to be a positive person, especially me when I'm positive. So a lot of times I get my crystals, I take a crystal bath, I take a salt bath to ground myself, because all the negative energy of people throwing out there at you, that's not good neither mentally for you. You gotta have a strong mind, because your body is weak, but you need a strong mind to be able to deal with all the other BS out there from other people. Because I see it, I deal with it. I went into a grocery store, me and my daughter, parked the car in the handicap zone, and I have a handicap sticker, legally handicap sticker. I gets out the car, goes in the store. My daughter's still sitting in the car on the passenger side. She calls me, she's like, "Mama, you need to come outside. Police want to talk to you." For what? I'm shopping. So I had to put all my stuff down, leave the buggy, go outside, and pacify this woman, because she was mad because she couldn't get that handicap spot that I pulled into. She gonna tell me, "Oh, she put the handicap sticker up when she got ready to get in. She didn't have it up at first." Okay. By law in the state of Florida, you're not supposed to ride around with your handicap sticker hanging from your rear mirror all the time. It tells you remove before you drive. So I'm following the rules of the road and the laws, and but you want to get mad because you couldn't get that handicap spot. But you don't even have a handicap sticker or a plate. But you're complaining about me, saying I don't look like I'm handicapped. It doesn't matter what I look like, but my doctor filled it out, and it's registered, legally registered. So that's what I'm saying. People don't, they want to judge you, but they don't know you. And that's something that people need to stop doing when it comes to other people's lives. Because I could have been done with my shopping, got in my car, and left. And somebody else could have got that spot. But then I had to go back in the store and start all over again. Because of some ignorant person wants to feel that I'm taking up a space that I don't need. If I didn't need the space, I wouldn't have a handicap sticker. If I was parked closer to the door, where I can't walk that far without gasping for air, but I don't need this. And then plus I had my oxygen in the back seat. So how do I not, you know, need the parking space? The oxygen is for me as needed when I'm out and about. And if I needed it when I got out of my car, then yes, I would have put it on. But at that time, I didn't need it. But when I came back out there to deal with that, I had to get it and go back in the store because I was out of breath. Dealing with somebody else's problem that they try to make it my problem. All in my business should have just stayed in their lane and get out of my lane and leave me alone. But that's what I'm saying. People don't know. And then they want to sit up and talk to sin about what they don't know. Because I tell them, quick, you don't know what my body going through. Yes, I might not look it on the outside, but yes, I am sick. So, mind your business. Now, if you want to know what's going on with me, ask me. I'd be glad to tell you. I will give you my Facebook page, my podcast, and you can listen for yourself. That's why I tell a lot of them, because I don't have time for the drama. Because I'm a drama-free person. I don't like drama. So, and that's not good for your health anyway, especially if you're sick. You don't need that. You don't need all that. You just need to be able to live a normal, peaceful life and enjoy it. That's somebody criticizing you or judging you for being who you are. No. And it's hard sometimes. I know it is. I know a lot of people out there get judged all the time. You know, yes, a lot of, you know, people are like, oh, I don't think there's nothing wrong with them. You don't know that. You're not in that person's body. You know, and then you're just taking up for people. No, I'm not. It's because I'm in the same predicament they are in. You look at me, you don't know that I'm sick unless I tell you. So you can't judge a book by its cover. People, come on, let's get real and keep it real. So stop judging each other. Let's start being helpful and respectful to one another. If you're sick or not, either way, still be respectful and helpful to one another. Love your human beings. Let's all of us try to love one another. No matter what color you are or nothing. All this drama, it needs to stop. Because life is too short. And I'm planning on enjoying the rest of the life that I have on this earth. And I'm not letting nobody take that away from me. And I hope my listeners, don't y'all let nobody take that away from you all. Live your lives. If you have to stop and check a person, check them. Get them told and keep it moving. I'm quick to mind your business. Because I am not gonna sit here and dwell in your foolishness. I'm not gonna let you put that negativity on me. I try to keep myself grounded, mind able, and keep going. And a smile on my face. And again, I like to thank all of you all for listening and sharing my podcast. And again, another happy new year to you all. And I'm looking forward to be moving forward in 2024. Namaste.